Our gospel reading is John chapter 10, verse 11 and following, and it's Jesus' words about being the good shepherd. And Jesus said this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not part of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This is the command I have received from the Father." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning we continue the series on discovering Jesus and looking at the I am sayings of Jesus. And this morning we're looking at Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd," and trying to discover what that means for us in our faith and life today. So first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this shepherd who was out in the field one day, and his sheep were grazing out in the pastures, and he was out in the country, and this country road, this fancy Porsche drives up, and this young driver stops the Porsche, and he gets out, and he's dressed in this really nice designer suit, and he's got designer shoes and designer watch, all this stuff, and he comes up to the shepherd and says, "If I tell you how many sheep you have, will you give me one?" And the shepherd thinks to himself, "Well, I don't know. Okay. Oh, sure, why not?" And so the young man gets out his laptop computer and he hooks up the GPS and he looks at satellite pictures and he makes some calculations. And so after a little while, he comes back and says, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep." And the shepherd is just amazed by that. So he says, "All right, go ahead and take one." And so the young man takes an animal and he puts it in the back of his Porsche. And just as he's about ready to drive off, the shepherd says, "I tell you what, if I guess your profession, will you give me my animal back?" And the young man says, "I guess so." And so the shepherd says, "Let me guess, you're an IT consultant." And he said, "How did you know that?" And he said, "Well, first of all, you came without being called. Secondly, you told me something I already knew and charged me for it. And thirdly, you don't know anything about my business. Now, can I have my dog back?" Well, there aren't many shepherd jokes out there, so gotta. Well, this morning we're thinking about Jesus as the good shepherd who does know something about being a shepherd and knows something about us as sheep. And this morning I want to think about what that means for us. We're looking at the I am sayings of Jesus and trying to discover deeper meanings of the facets of all that Jesus is and is to us. And we talked about how that these I am sayings really start back with Moses. When Moses saw the burning bush and he went up to the burning bush and God called him to go to deliver the people out of Egypt, Moses asked for the name of God, the personal name other than just God or God Almighty. And the Lord answered Jehovah, which means, or Yahweh, which means I am that I am. And that sort of emphasizes the unchangeableness of God and how God also meets us along the way and we discover different facets of God. And so Jesus is really saying when he says, "I am," he uses these seven I am sayings in John, really, it really sort of goes through the Gospel of John. He's saying, first of all, that he is God, that he is the Messiah. And then he's also inviting us to see a facet of his personality. So we looked at Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And then Jesus said that he's the light of the world. And then last, Jesus said, "I am the gate." So this morning we're looking at, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd, first of all, knows us. So Jesus said, "The good shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know his voice." That really was true. Out there in that part of the ancient Near East, the flocks weren't real big. And in fact, as I mentioned last week, the shepherd would really oftentimes, different shepherds would be outside the city, and there would be good fertile pasture land, and various flocks would actually graze together. And then in the evening, the shepherd would call their sheep. So they had different sheepfolds or different sheep pens, and those are sort of makeshift pens. And so the shepherd would, in each, they had their own makeshift pen. They'd use brambles or thickets or what have you. If they were lucky, sort of a partially stone wall or even maybe a part of a stone quarry. And the shepherd would call the sheep into their sheepfold. And then one side would be open. The shepherd would actually lay down in that area to lay down their body to protect the sheep. They would actually become the gate. So when Jesus said, I am the gate, he was saying literally that he lays down there, the sheep know his name, the sheep know his voice, and he knows each of them by name, and then he protects them. And Jesus literally lays down his life for us by giving his life on the cross that we might know forgiveness and new life, and then protects us through all of life. And so the shepherd knows the sheep very well, but I think there's at least four things in that idea of the good shepherd, and it's interwoven with the Psalm 23. This was a psalm that all the people would have been familiar with, and Jesus was familiar with it too. And I think there's at least four things. So the first thing is the good shepherd provides for us. And when we think about that, he wants us to have life and have life abundantly. And so we not only have eternal life, but we have the idea of abundant life, all the things that we need. Now, sometimes we have some desires that may be sort of off the chart. We want some really fancy car or something. That may not be anything that's harmful, but we know that we have all of our needs and the things that are good for us. Because sometimes we want things that aren't the best for us, just like maybe a child, and it's not in their best interest, and we as a parent want only what's best for them. And so God provides us what's necessary for us. But sometimes I think we forget to trust God in that, and we start striving after things, and in striving after things, we lose ourselves. And it says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Jesus sort of uses that imagery in Matthew chapter 6 when he's talking to disciples and other people in the Beatitudes. And he goes on to say this, and I love this passage. So just think about it, sort of the opposite of striving is sort of trusting the good shepherd. He says this, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? So do not worry about saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so the good shepherd provides for us, and we can trust that the good shepherd knows what's best for us and will provide for us. And the second thing is that the good shepherd guides us along the way. Listen to this from Psalm 23. It says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, I think we have lots of farmers and people with livestock. Any shepherds out there this morning? Not a lot of sheep in this part of the country. I don't think anyone wants to be a shepherd. It's sort of thrust upon you. And one of the things is about sheep that I have discovered is sheep aren't the brightest. They're not really the best and the brightest. And one thing is they tend to go with the rest of the flock, which is fine sometimes. But it also means that if one sheep wanders off the edge of a cliff, then the other ones just tend to keep going. And it also means that if sheep run into water, now, sheep are not good in water because if they have, of course, all this fluffy wool, we established that this morning, but if they get into water that has any kind of a current, their wool fills up with water and they just float downstream and they can drown. And so you have to be really careful with sheep. They don't go out into water that's moving. It has to be really still water. And they just follow the flock. And then besides just following the flock, they have no way to protect themselves. So there's no vicious claws or teeth or anything like that, and so any kind of a predator, or a wolf or a coyote or a fox, whatever it is, can just kill a sheep. And so they have to be led by the shepherd, and we have to trust that the shepherd knows where we're going. And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And he contrasts himself. He says to the hired hand, if a wolf comes, will run away and leave the sheep because he has nothing at stake. He says, but the good shepherd lays down their life for the sheep. And Jesus is saying, I love you so much that I gave my life on Calvary and that I offer salvation, new life, and you can trust me to lead you along all the way of life. And so we think about Jesus who leads us beside quiet waters. So those quiet waters are waters where we won't be swept away. There's not the danger of that. And we think about restoring our soul, not just salvation, but our souls really need to be restored. Sometimes we spiritually become tired, just like we become physically tired. And Jesus is there to sort of restore us. And sometimes we have to go through valleys and mountains, and Jesus knows when we're ready for the mountain, and he knows when we need the quiet valley. And he's there for all of this. And he says that he will guide us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And sometimes when we're on a path, it may not seem like the path of righteousness. In other words, it may seem like, well, why am I on this sort of rocky mountain path? And we don't see, understand why we're facing challenges and adversity. But Jesus knows what's best for us. And as the good shepherd, he knows he needs to guide us through there so our relationship grows with him and so that he can get us to the place where we're in the valley of blessedness. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus is that picture of the good shepherd with the little sheep in the arm of the good shepherd. Has anyone seen that? And I don't know if you know sort of the story behind that, but apparently this is still the case today, sort of in the ancient Near East, that what happens sometimes is some of the little sheep are just mischievous or they're just errant and they keep running away from the flock. And so the shepherd, of course, leaves the flock and goes after the little sheep. Now, if the little sheep, the same little sheep, keeps doing that, what happens is the shepherd realizes there's danger that that sheep is going to be taken by a wolf or fall over a cliff. And so what the shepherd will sometimes do is take the sheep and purposely break one of its legs. And then it will put a splint on the leg, and then the shepherd will carry the sheep for months until that sheep heals. And during that time, it develops a very, very close relationship with the shepherd because the shepherd carries it all that time as it's growing. And so once the leg is healed, that sheep will stay closer to the shepherd than any other sheep. And the reason that shepherd has done it is because he doesn't want that little sheep to be killed. And I think sometimes that's like us. I mean, some of us, maybe not all of us, but some of us go through a chapter in life where we tend to wander away where we could get into a great deal of trouble, even though we just think we're having fun or whatever, we're doing something. And just like that sheep that might be taken by the wolf or fall over a cliff, sometimes God has allowed things to come into our life. And that very chapter of trouble we look at and think, gee, this is the worst thing I've gone through, is really the thing that God uses to bring us closer to him. And that close relationship is something that even after that trial is over, then we develop a close relationship with the good shepherd for all of our life. And so the good shepherd knows what's best for us. And the good shepherd is there to guide us and to provide for us. And then the next thing is that, of course, the shepherd protects the sheep. When we think about that imagery, it says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we know that not just in this life, but as we face the transition to the next life, that the good shepherd, Jesus our Lord, will be there with us. And all of us one day will face that time when we transition into eternity. We know that even that valley of shadow of death, that Jesus will lead us home. But even more than that, even in this life, we face times of fear and anxiety and worry, and we can trust that Jesus will protect us. That imagery that is used in that psalm of the rod and the staff are really two different things. Now, the rod was a blunt-edged stick. And so at the one end, it was blunt. And the shepherd would use that to, when a wolf was attacking or even a bear or something, and David uses this imagery when he talks to Saul. And before he faces Goliath, David says, when the bear would attack, I'd use this and to fend it off. And so there's a blunt end, and they would beat the wolf or whatever was attacking. The staff, on the other hand, was a curved end, and the shepherd would use that staff to lead the sheep back to him. And so God never uses the rod to punish the sheep. God uses the rod to against the enemy and uses the staff to bring us back to him. And God never punishes us but disciplines us so we grow closer to him. So when we think about God in our life as the good shepherd, Jesus is there as a good shepherd to provide for us, to guide us along the pathway of life, and then also to protect us. I don't know where you've been in all of life, but I know there's times in my life where there's been a chapter of my life maybe where I faced something, and there's been a couple of times in life where I've been very, very close to death's door, and if it were not for God's intervention, I feel in my life that I wouldn't be here today. There's a couple of moments in life where I just felt like the presence of God was there and delivered me, and you may have felt that. Maybe it was an illness or something like that, and sometimes we begin to take it for granted, but we need to cherish that time and realize that each and every day we're only here because God has protected us and God loves us. And if God is there in those times, and God is there day to day, sometimes we don't feel that he's there, but we can trust that he's there. And the final thing is the good shepherd gives us peace. And here's what the psalmist says. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And if you look at that imagery, it's so beautiful, that idea that all of us know what a wonder it is to come to a family feast. Maybe it's Christmas or dinner time, or family farm, or wherever that is, or just our sort of our homestead, and we go there, and there's a wonderful table prepared for us. But Jesus uses this image, or the psalmist uses this image of, even when enemies surround us, that God is so powerful that he can prepare a table that is a blessing even in the holiday times. And so even though enemies are around us, he's there prepared for us. And then that imagery of anointing the head with oil, oil was used and still is in the ancient Near East like a sort of a suntan oil against the heat of the sun, but also when we have wounds. So if we have an open wound, that oil can provide comfort, take away the pain, and also purify. And so our Lord is there to sort of protect us from the heat of the day and also from the troubles of battle as we face that battle. And that imagery of the cup overflowing is an imagery of blessing. In other words, our cup overflows and we can trust God will continue to bless us. And then it goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy, or that word is also love. So goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful imagery, that an imagery of peace, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And that peace, that shalom peace, is not just peace in the absence of violence, but peace in our hearts and lives before God, because we have a right relationship with God, and peace with our family, and peace and the blessing of God, and not just in this life, but around the heavenly home. And what a beautiful image of heaven. We think about a father's home and sort of that welcoming home, like the prodigal son, when the son had been away for a long time, and just the image of the father out there in front of the home, welcoming him home. And you and I, however blessed this life will be and however long it will be, one day we will all come to death's door and know that as we leave this life and enter the next life, that our Father, our Heavenly Father, will be there to welcome us home, and that Jesus gave his life, that we can know that peace that we have. And so the Good Shepherd is one who knows us, and the Good Shepherd provides for us each and every day. The Good Shepherd guides us along life's way. The Good Shepherd protects us, and the Good Shepherd gives us peace in this life and next. I'd like to close with this story. It's a true story, and it's my favorite story about shepherds. There was this Shakespearean actor in the 20th century, the mid part of the 20th century, and he was very famous, and he would go around from town to town, and he would have audiences who would gather, maybe school auditoriums or, you know, a public place, and he would recite all these famous Shakespearean plays, and then he would do some other kinds of poems, and at the end of his performance, he always asked the audience for some requests to recite something. And so, as always the case, he came to this one town, and he recited all these Shakespearean plays, and everybody was applauding, and they thought it was wonderful, and then he had some people ask for requests, and then at the end of the evening, he asked for one last request, and there was an elderly gentleman in the back of the room, and he said, please, sir, would you recite the 23rd Psalm? And this Shakespearean actor was taken back by the request, but he said, I'll honor that request. I'll recite the 23rd Psalm. And after I recite the 23rd Psalm, if you, sir, will do the same. And so he agreed. And so he got up and he did this beautiful oration of the 23rd Psalm. And there was a standing ovation. Everyone applauded the Shakespearean actor. And so they sat down. And the Shakespearean actor turned to this elderly gentleman in the back. And he said, now, sir, would you recite the 23rd Psalm? And with that, this elderly gentleman stood up, and he was so elderly that his voice shook with age, but he recited the 23rd Psalm. And at the end of him reciting that 23rd Psalm, no one applauded, no one stood up, but everyone in the house had tears in their eyes. And someone asked, what's the difference between that and this? Great Shakespearean actor said, well, the difference is I know the 23rd Psalm, but this man knows the shepherd. And I think that's really the story of our lives. And it isn't how great we are about all the things in life, it's how much we really know the Good Shepherd. And Jesus invites us to that kind of relationship, a relationship that we can trust, that Jesus not only loves us, but loves us enough to lay down his life on the cross and provide the pathway to forgiveness and new life. He knows us by name. We can trust him that he will provide for us, that he'll guide for us, he'll protect us, and he'll give us peace in this life and next. And so I invite all of us to trust all of our lives, every little place of our life, as we travel along the hills and valleys of life, to the Good Shepherd who loves us and knows what's best for us. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we think about how great you are, how much you love us, we know that we can trust you along the hills and the valleys and mountains of life, that each and every day we can follow you and trust you, that you know what's best for us because you love us. You're there when we face challenges and adversity, and you're there even in the green pastures and the quiet waters. You're there to give us blessing and peace and to love us and show us all the goodness of life in this life and the next. Help us to open our hearts and lives to you this day and every day through your power and to your glory. Amen.